This episode is brought to you by Habit Aware. My Keen 2 brings awareness to my trichotillomania by giving my wrist a gentle hug or vibration when I'm doing the scanning behavior. Bring awareness into your life by visiting barbaralally.com/habitaware and use code LALLYLOVE for 10% off the replacement training bundle.
I first experienced what trichotillomania was when I was, I want to say, in middle school. I went to the doctor and my doctor was like, hey, you should look into this. And we just took it and ignored it for a little bit until it came back in my later 20s. But even as a kid, I've always kind of had those BFRB traits, whether it was like hair pulling or nail biting throughout just like my childhood. Always been a nervous kid just because I'm always kind of looking for things around me. And that is the instant trigger for like my BFRB of just being anxious. So it's slowly become throughout the years, like my coping mechanism of what I notice when I'm like kind of high strung and just really anxious. And as a kid, you're always anxious because there's just so much stuff around you. So you don't realize and put two and two together that those two things go hand in hand. So I had a little bit of a journey, always kind of pulling my hair, playing with my hair since junior high, I would say is when it really started. And then just kind of getting to know it a little bit, just like being used to that, this is what I'm going to do all the time, or when I'm really nervous, or just like focusing and adhering, like mixing that with my day to day, and then trying to work through college and work through work and just kind of get through that. But it's been a long process of knowing what it is, but getting to the root, pun intended, of all of it.
What led you to the doctor? Was it just a regular appointment, or did you go because you had some missing areas?
A regular appointment. I have been diagnosed with ADHD and anxiety and depression for a long time. I'm 30 this year, so around like 10, 12 is when I would originally start going to the doctor for my anxiety. And then, like I said, it wasn't until like junior high going into high school towards the end of that where I actually had a doctor that was like, this is what the name is. And we didn't really care much for the name because it was just nobody really knew about it and it was just in passing. So it was always just hair pulling or like just kind of fidgeting and stuff. And I never really matched it and really used trichotillomania until like I was really going through therapy as an adult and putting that name with what I have and just kind of going through that way. But it was started as anxiety and then found out a name. But even when I found that name out, it was just not associated with anything other than here's what it is. So learning by yourself how to cope with it.
What are some things that you tried to maybe lessen your pulling?
Well, I didn't really try things until I was like in my college years, like 23-ish. Like that's when I would be like, oh, the fidget toys or the little spinny things, or when the fidget spinners came out, I was like, oh, that's for us. Like that's for us. But I would just live with it. Like I knew what it was. And later on, I knew it was more of a coping, just what I do to kind of get into my zen. But before, I just thought it was anxiety. And it is both hand in hand, but I look at it more now as like just playing around. Whereas before, it was like more, oh, my anxiety is making me do this. Or it was more negative of an anxiety versus just, I'm just a little on edge or something in the moment. So getting through that was a little trial and error, but it wasn't until like my 20s when I was doing the fidget spinners and putting hats on or like slicking my hair back as often as I can to really kind of make that bridge a little bit more visible. And it isn't always visible because I am very open with it is what it is. And I'll put like my hat on and I'll use my fidget spinners and stuff. But at the end of the day, those things aren't going to end it. And those are there for when I'm really, really feeling it and really just kind of not being able to pull back.
You mentioned you had other BFRBs growing up, and you had a big kind of gap between when you started pulling and then when you started again. What was kind of happening in the middle?
A little bit of chaos. I moved a lot growing up, so we were constantly moving. Like, we never stayed in a space for more than a year. So it was very pick up and go, and that's just kind of how I learned to be. When I was little, though, I remember it like it was yesterday. Like, I would always just pick my hair out and then either like eat it or, do the like lip rub thing. And my neighbor, like my mom's friend, she was older. She was like, if you eat your hair, it's going to get into a little hairball in your stomach. And that stuck with me. And I just stopped. I like cold cut when I, and this was like when I was 5, cold cut. And then when I got more older, I completely connected with PMS. I think when I got my period and that kind of changed my hormones. That's when it really started to ramp back up again, and I noticed it a little bit more. But I was always fidgeting with my hands, with coloring, or just needing to do something, which was often looked at as ADHD and like geared more towards that. So the BFRB OCD side of things went a little bit unnoticed and shadowed by that. So when I got older, I was putting two and two together and pinpointing when it really kind of picked back up and when it really started, and then tried to figure out where that gap was.
When you were in your 20s, did you feel the urge to share with anybody? Did you share your experience with like friends and things like that?
Yeah, I did a little bit. I had a professor once that in class I was just like playing with my hair, and she was like, "Are you raising your hand or what are you doing? Because every time you do that, I think you're raising your hand." And like it kind of drew some attention to it. And after that class, I ended up talking to one of my classmates who also was just like, "I play around with my hair all the time. Like I just like kind of always do that." And I was like, "Yeah, it's a little bit more of just like playing around or like going around with your hair." But I kind of discovered that it's called trichotillomania, and this is. It's like in the anxiety book of things that can happen if you have a BFRB, and that's the name to it. But really, kind of, that was the first time when I put the trichotillomania word to someone who I really didn't have much of a connection with, but showed interest in it to kind of bridge that this is what it is. So when you're playing with your hair or you notice you're doing it a lot more, it could be a BFRB. And if you have other things like nail biting or things like that could be a sign that it's not just nail biting.
How did they react? Did they say, "Oh, I never heard of that before," or did they have some background knowledge?
Yeah, the trichotillomania word like always throws people off because it's just a interesting, weird, quirky word. And again, I feel like every time I explain or like hear the word, it just kind of gets shadowed a little bit. Like I feel like the act itself overrides the name of it. So kind of just bringing back that this is a BFRB, this is in its own category, and that these are the things that go along with it. And put it with not just nail biting or hair picking, because then it gets lost in the, oh, this is just every day. Whereas it's something sometimes you need to really focus on.
Yeah, I remember when I was first pulling and everyone was like, "Where are your eyebrows? What's going on?" And I'm thinking, "Oh, I actually saw so many kids in my class biting their nails." And I'm thinking, "Let me bite my nails." And I tried so hard, but it never stuck with me.
I can never do it. It's just like the aimless, mindless, just,
Have you pulled from other areas besides your scalp?
No, I've only ever pulled from my scalp. It's always just been just like sitting here and just kind of playing around. And the only other BFRBs I really had was when I was younger and I was doing more like nail biting or like really actually pulling out my hair and like playing around with it. But other than that, I've been strict with that. I will like pick out my nails. Like I'll try to like clean them up very often. So that's like the smaller BFRB that I have. And then like tapping. I'll like kind of do this as my like play around to get away from the hair pulling when I'm feeling it's a little excessive. But those things, it really has just kind of centered into that.
Do you have locations in your house, in the car, things like that, where you know, okay, this is probably where I'm gonna pull a lot. Let me get prepared.
Bathrooms always, because what bathroom isn't just like calling for it with their giant mirror, but cars, because I drive a lot less now, but in like when I first graduated, my first job was a traveling legal assistant. So I would travel to our offices and sometimes be in traffic for like 2 hours. And I remember those moments of when I really kind of got more into what is this BFRB or how can I like kind of get back into not like sitting and just aimlessly, like not being aware of it and being mindless about it, versus when I'm doing it, being more proactive of like, this is something that I really need and I can't just not do it right now. So in the car, I just remember being like, okay, is it necessary for me to really play with my hair? Or is it just I'm bored in traffic and like there's nothing to do? So maybe I can just, I don't know, fiddle with something. So then I'd bring my fidget spinners out. Those were like my car best friends. I have them in there all the time. But just noticing when it's going to get there, like if I'm driving and I know it's going to be a long drive, just be like, okay, let's focus on steering away from that and seeing what else I can do.
Yeah, the car was huge for me just because exactly
Always.
Where I pull is the elbow rest. My
Always.
Arm's not getting
Oh, it's
tired.
perfect. It's like made for it. And then when you're a passenger, it's just the other side.
Exactly. Either side, there's hairballs on the ground. Like
always, always.
What are some tips that you have for someone who is starting to understand their triggers?
My biggest thing was that it isn't going to go away overnight. And I, for a while, thought that it was going to. But it became, I know, like, I love your podcast because it's opened my eyes of it being more of a friend, just like something that's just kind of around with me. And it is like, I know I've always had it. When I think about me doing BFRBs when I was a kid and not realizing it, I'm like, oh, it was instilled in me. Like, it's not something that I'm just going to get rid of. So just noticing that, like my points, like if I am in the mirror, if I am in the car, just notice that it may be one of those days where I can't pull myself away from it. But being aware of that helps when I want to stop. Like knowing going into it that sometimes there's going to be days when I'm really, really pulling, but being aware that, oh, it's actually getting a lot. Let me just kind of find something or just slick my hair back or just kind of reposition myself or take a walk or something, see if that works. And if I come back at the end of the day, I take my walk and I come back to my desk and I'm working on something and I find myself, I'll just like be aware, like, oh, just another thing. Maybe like let it go for a little bit, but really pull myself out of it. I try not to like get hard on myself, like be hard on myself when it happens.
What would you say was a challenging memory or moment that you've had with your BFRB?
Definitely growing up, because my parents, like, they didn't really know what it was. And a lot of people just think it just stop pulling your hair or stop doing that. And when you have to connect it back to an anxiety or like OCD or ADHD, you can't just stop ADHD or you can't just stop anxiety. So it's one of those things that I can't stop, but I'm very aware of it and I can make steps to move past the phase that I'm in, or if I'm really anxious, just using my coping mechanisms to make me less anxious. But I would say the hardest was just bridging that gap of I can't stop. And it's not something that I'm going to be able to stop anytime soon. Or if it was like the, oh, you're pulling again, or you're like pulling your hair, you're doing this again. And it's just like, oh, it is what it is. And I'm okay with that. So getting to the point where you're okay with it, that's something that you have to handle, not me.
And then also, I know you just kind of answered this too, but I would love to hear your advice to parents who have children with BFRBs. What would be something that you would like them to know?
The awareness, because sometimes there's good awareness and there's bad awareness. Like sometimes it would just be completely ignored. And in those moments, like when I was younger, it could have been very helpful to have those notices of my parents being like, hey, just watch what you're doing there. You're seeing a little bit anxious here, instead of just ignoring it completely or kind of over acknowledging it and being like, you have to stop, like you're doing this all the time, like yada yada, and just kind of finding that happy middle. Like it does need to be acknowledged because it is helpful to have that person hold you accountable with stuff. I know I like body doubling, like an ADHD community is very big to just kind of make sure you're getting your stuff done. So having someone around to be like, hey, just so you know, like I noticed you're pulling a little bit, but also not be, I noticed you're pulling a little bit, now stop. Just be like, how can I help? Or are you really anxious? Do you want to do something else? Just kind of gear away. Because I think my biggest snap out of it is just doing something different. A lot of the times when I just need to, if I'm stuck in a mode, just being like, oh, let me switch up what I'm doing at work, or let me go outside. So helping your children find those alternatives and doing that with them and in connection with whatever's going on helps a lot.
What would be a memory or a moment of you feeling very successful with your BFRB?
I would say in connection with the driving, like when I was doing my 2 hour plus, like in the car, I did get to a point where I would really know when I could kind of pull back, or when I was like, take a little deep breaths, like do my like breathing exercises, maybe like do some tappings just to get that like sensory feel a little bit, and then just be like, okay, and then take a little bit and seeing the time lapse of when I wasn't pulling or what that coping mechanism, how it benefited or how it worked. I really loved seeing the benefit of like, oh, that breathing exercise really worked, or it is as easy as just going outside and like getting some air and then kind of collecting and getting back. So finding the coping mechanisms and seeing the not instant gratifications, because it never is, but over time seeing that that's something that will help me snap out of it if I need it.
I love what you said too about the instant gratification, because I feel like for me personally, I wanted everything grown back and I wanted this to work right away. And that made everything worse because I was looking for the impossible. How did you get to the point where you are saying, hey, listen, I'm happy with what's happening right now? Doesn't mean it's the end all be all.
I like evaluate really what the negatives could be. So if I am pulling a lot, I'll like kind of sit back and be like, all right, you're doing this, you're aware that you're doing this, do you want to have like a bald spot, are you going to be okay with that, like, but not in a you're going to get a bald spot if you keep doing this kind of way, just more in a like, this is what's going to happen, you are very aware that this is what's going to happen, and if you want to stop right now, great, that would be absolutely amazing. If you don't, maybe see what other things that we can do to make it stop, since that's not something you want to do right now. And then just really work around like just those pinpoints.
Did you know Habit Aware also offers virtual peer coaching? This one-to-one peer-based program will coach you through shifting mindset, practicing healthy strategies, and creating your personal roadmap to recovery. To work with me, Ellen, or Anila, head over to habitaware.com/coaching today. I love the gentleness and how you speak to yourself. Have you always been gentle, or is this something over time?
No, definitely within the last couple of years. The first, like it's weird because you go through like your phases of finding out what it is and then being like angry with it, like, oh, I can just stop. I know I can just stop. And then realizing you can't just stop. And then like the ebb and flow of, is it something that I can pause or like put on hold and how I can do that? But I through the years definitely was a little hard on myself, like being like, if you keep doing this, it's just going to get worse and worse, and not really putting the blinders of like, if you keep doing this, it's not that it's bad, or it's not that you keep doing this because you keep doing this, you just are doing this because that's who you are. And I've gotten a lot more comfortable with who I am as a person, and having that BFRB just kind of came with it. So the therapy of just really being okay with who you are, and sometimes unfortunately that is a BFRB, but how that has really opened up like knowing who I am even more now, because I feel like people with BFRBs, like you really, really have to know yourself, because you're now analyzing when these triggers really, really happen and what you need to do with them. So finding out how to make that an even playing field has been very rewarding.
Yeah, I never ever once considered being like, what do you need right now? And now I do that all the time, because I'm like getting to know that like, sometimes I do have the answer. Like sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm avoiding this, or this is coming up. And like, I can really, I'm tired, you know, anything. I can really ask myself that question. And then I feel, you know, proud of myself that I can make a different choice. But when before I didn't even ask, and then I had no choice. It was just hands in the hair all day.
Yeah. And it was almost like an executive like dysfunction, because you don't ask and you're just like, oh, it's everything. Like it's the where I'm at right now, where I'm sitting, it's what I'm doing, it's like what I'm listening to, it's like all these things. And then when you really sit back and you're like, oh, it's actually just I haven't drank water that much today, and I need to drink a little bit more water, or like I just need to get up because I've been sitting at my desk all day, and just learning the new things that I wouldn't have ever looked at if I didn't have a BFRB. I would have never been like, oh, I'm doing okay today, or I'm not doing too well today. Let me go outside. Like, I have to do that because I'm like, oh, I'm pulling my hair. I guess I have to go outside a little bit. So it's been a blessing because I wouldn't have known who I am without them, really.
Have you ever felt as though you had to avoid things because of your BFRB?
Yes, having my hair down is a no-go for a lot of reasons, just because it just gets frizzy, and then that's a thing that I'm constantly worried about. So I have noticed that, like, when I have my hair back, it helps. And then when I do have my hair down, that's like my test. Like, that when I have my hair down is when I'm like, okay, I'm gonna do this, and I'm gonna try to focus, and I'm gonna work on using my coping mechanisms when I need it and really kind of like keep myself at balance. But then sometimes it goes all wrong and I'm just like, all right, that is what it is.
My hair is never down. Like, it's only down like when I'm
Nope.
recording, if I'm in front of somebody, that hair is up and it's slick back and
All
it's
the time. It's crazy. Oh, it's like crazy how the bun, like the slick back bun, is almost just like a magic, like, shield. Because I will, and I don't know what it is, and that's something that I also analyze, like, as when I have my hair down versus when I have my hair in a bun, or even when I have my hair in a loose bun versus a very slick back bun, I'll notice like, oh, I'm still pulling and it's just a looser bun because I can just still grab some stuff. But like that slick back, that's like, stop right there. You need a you day, so you're not gonna pull today. Let's pull it back a little bit. But I love those too. Like, then it's a little peaceful because I'm like, okay, I don't have to worry about it. Or when I am, because I'm still gonna pull when my hair, like, I don't know if you could, even with this slick back, like, it's the end of the day, I left work and I still had my little halo of hair. But even then, it's like, I'll look at that and be like, oh, it could be a lot worse. Like, if I really didn't like focus on that, I could have been putting my hair up a million times in that day instead of like keeping it back, but just kind of keeping myself at bay and level with what I need in that time.
And you mentioned, putting your hair back up a million times. I can't. If I have a loose ponytail, forget it. It's
Oh,
a
no, it's so
thousand.
bad. It's so bad. It's so, like, I know if I just do a very loose bun without like putting gel in my hair, I'm like, all right, this bun's gonna come out multiple times. I'm gonna have to redo my hair multiple times. And then I'm like, oh, but then I could just slick it back. And then I'm like, how many times do I have to do that hair do in a row? So it's very trial and error. I take it as the day. So if I can tell I'm feeling a little anxious that morning, I'm like, all right, I'm just gonna slick it back, not worry about it. Then if I'm feeling like, if I know I'm gonna be outside, I'll try to wear my hair down a little bit more because the sun and like all that stuff, it just keeps me in a little bit more of a better mood. So I know will be a little bit more okay in different environments. Like driving, always, my hair is always slicked back.
There's something special. And the slick back looks so cute. Like, it's so
I
nice.
know.
Like,
I'm so glad like clean girl aesthetic is in, because I'm like, okay, perfect. I can do those.
do you find yourself pulling in front of people ever? Or because you mentioned you have your hair down in front of people, do you like find yourself doing it less?
Yeah, so when I was in school, like in college, I wouldn't do it around people. Like, in class I would, like, if I was just playing with it, but when I was around people, I would get very anxious about being like, oh shoot, they're gonna know, like, if I start like pulling my hair. Although when I look at them, they're all like playing with their hair and playing with it, like doing all that, and I'm like, I do that too, but mine's just a little bit different. It just goes a little bit further than that, and I would never do it. And then later on, like, I would say after like 26, I just kind of was like, I'm gonna do it regardless. And holding back honestly gave me more anxiety in the end, because then I was only thinking about it, could care less about what anybody else was saying. If people were talking, I would not be paying attention at all, because all I'd be thinking about is, I really want to pull right now, but I can't because these people are gonna look at me. And then as I like would get into relationships, I just kind of wouldn't do it as much. Like, in the beginning, I'm really good at like new people. I'll like kind of stay back a little bit, but then once I get to know them, I just become more lenient, and I'll like be playing with my hair, and nobody's ever said anything crazy, like my anxiety swore it was going to do, or like tell me, oh, stop doing that, because they know that I just play with my hair. Like, my best friend, she cuts my hair, and thank God, like, I am so blessed because I have that. I have my hair cutter, and she's like my ride or die. And I just got out of a really rough job, and I was like, listen, Jen, It's been a rough day, so I need this haircut, and you just got to work your magic. Just do what you need to do. And I love that because I remember the anxiety I would get going to the hairdresser and being like, oh shoot, these people are going to see like that this layer is not the same as this layer, and they're not going to like know how to cut it. And it's nice having that connection with a hairdresser because I don't have to worry about that, or I don't have to like explain why my hair length is different on one side versus the other. And it's just very understanding. She's very like, oh, so it was a stressful day. I see that it was a stressful day. Or I'll be like, thank God I'm done that job because I would have not had any more hair left if I would have stayed. And it's just fun to like just joke about that. And she's like, I feel like I get it. So it's always nice to have that backup because then I'm not too afraid to just like be me. And same with like my boyfriend, like I'll play with my hair and like all of that. And it also like keeps me on track because I'll be like, okay, maybe I'm playing with it like a little too much. He's driving and I'm playing with it. I'm like, okay, maybe I should just like kind of calm it down. It's a little too much. And that helps, like that like body double will really help.
When you first were in the relationship, did you feel as though you had to share right away, or was it something that you automatically wanted to?
I just like let it kind of trickle out at first. So like I would just kind of play with my hair a little bit, and then as it would be more like, oh, you're playing with your hair more than just like a normal person, be like, yeah, like it's just like an anxiety coping mechanism, just like people bite their nails, just like people do all this stuff. That's what I do. And it's the same level. I'm aware of it. I know how to work with it. And so it's been really great because it's not a focal point of like the day to day, which was my biggest fear of getting into a relationship and just like that being the main point. And it's not, it's like there's so many other things that we have going on. Like me playing with my hair is the last thing that we need to be worrying about right now.
Going back to something that you said, if I stayed at this job, I would have no hair. And what's amazing about, and something I now appreciate about my trichotillomania is like, it is going to tell you when something's not right. And are you listening? And it's like, I have to. Yes, I will.
Yes, from the beginning, like when I get to know people, I really don't pull as much. Like I'll just kind of ease into it before I really just play with my hair like that. When I first started that job, from the beginning, like it really does tell you which people to watch out for. Like if I'm really pulling around someone and I don't have that like ease into it, I'm like, okay, this is not good energy. Like the vibes are off, and that's how it was, and I knew it. And like from the It was all the time. I didn't care where I was, who I was in front of. I was just pulling because the stress there. And that like made me realize like this is a very stressful situation I'm in. I'm more stressed than usual because I'm really do not care if I'm pulling, where I'm pulling or anything. So just moving around those situations, and it absolutely is a light bulb. And I am so blessed for that because it definitely will tell you when to stay away from people.
And I think too, I feel like our generation, we maybe had parents who had the same job for 40 years. There was a generation of people that they worked at the same place for 40 years. Didn't matter what happened, change in management, whatever, they were still there. I feel like our generation were like, if we're unhappy, I'm getting out of here. Like literally, we are protecting ourselves. And I love that.
Absolutely, like the protection of yourself, and that's what I looked at it like when I really was pulling. I was like, I have to protect myself. Like my BFRB is out of control, and if I can't figure out mechanisms to get around it, then it's a situation I can't be in and shouldn't be around. So like now, like I'm in a new job. It's stressful. I'm still pulling here and there, but I'm not like crazy. Like I know that I'm okay. Like I have my mechanisms if I need them. The people aren't driving me up a wall. Like it's nice to know the environment you're in thanks to your BFRB.
Have you ever seen BFRBs portrayed in the media?
Here and there, I really haven't. I don't think I've seen it one-on-one, or not that I'm like light bulbing it, but I love seeing articles that are like, this person has trichotillomania, this person has a BFRB, but you didn't really know it. And then I go back and I'll watch that TV show, or I'll watch that episode, like the Amy Schumer. Like I'm not big on Amy Schumer. I'm not big on her, but when I found out she had that, I was like, all right, I guess I gotta watch this. And then like anytime it just pops up, like I love the acknowledgement of it because it's just another anxiety. It's just another type of OCD. It's just another like thing that people deal with that is the same level as nail biting. And if that's normalized, like, why not just let me pull my hair in a scene or something? And we taught, and the thing that always like blows my mind is that we're always like, I'm just gonna pull my hair out whenever we get anxious about stuff or whenever we want to talk about like something that's driving us crazy. And I'm like, yeah, I literally do that though. So someone created that saying who probably had trichotillomania but didn't want to let people know. And it's just like, I'm just doing what we've joked about for decades.
I even think before I would see things and I'm like angry. How dare you pull out a chunk when it's really only one hair? But now I'm thinking like, wow, all those people that maybe saw a scene in a show and was like, even ew, I'll take it, ew too. Ew, what's that? They look it up. Guess what? Now we know what it is. Like, that's cool to me. I like that now.
Yeah. And it's like normalized, because I think if more and more people knew about it, they'd be like, oh yeah, I have that, or I have something along those lines. Because I am very aware of like what other people are doing with their hair, because why wouldn't I be? So I'm like, oh, people are always playing with their hair. They're always just like kind of just need a sensory thing, need something. And it's just like, we just are a little more open about it and can connect it with how who we are as a person, which I think is really cool.
What is your relationship with your BFRB now versus when you first started when you were little?
When I was younger, definitely more of just a, what is this? Like, why am I doing this? Or what is the connection with it? Is there something wrong with me? Or like, and I never really fully put it, like could bridge that gap with anxiety, even though I knew that's kind of what it went along with, but not until I could put the situation with the action and being like, oh, I'm pulling because of this situation, or I'm pulling because I'm a little more anxious than usual, and then kind of relate it back to that way.
What is something that your BFRB taught you?
To be more aware, definitely to be more aware. Like going back at that job thing, like that was a bigger portion, because that was like, oh, I really got to get out of here. But then looking back and being like, oh, it's definitely made me aware of when I am very anxious or when I just need to relax, because that's just who I am as a person. And before that, I wouldn't have known that I needed to relax or that I needed to take a couple breaths. And now I do. Now I know if I'm really picking, I'm like, okay, something's going on where I'm just not myself, or I'm very not in the space that I need to be. So just figuring out what that coping mechanism is and learning the new ways of coping mechanisms. Like I picked up painting because it's my hands. I wish I could do crocheting or like that stuff, because I think that would be really fun. But anything like finding new things or just finding new ways to not be in my hair or not be playing with my hands too much. And it's just open. It's like reading. Like I really enjoy reading now, because that's something that I can kind of keep my hands focused on. And like I said before, I would have never really cared really to look at those as coping mechanisms instead of just hobbies.
What would you like to say to listeners?
To the listeners, I would just say, be yourself. We have trick, we have all these BFRBs, and it is just who we are. And I take it as a grain of salt every single day and know that that is just a very small portion of who I am and who you are. And there's so many things that we can do throughout the day that we don't have to necessarily focus about BFRB being our light bulb of who we are, because we are so much more. We are so much more than just that. And it helps. Like I will say, BFRBs are a blessing, because I think we're a little more aware than other people.
Thank you.